Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 94 for the week of January 11th, 2021. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with the graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts you can use in your own presentations. Okay, so much has happened in the country since I recorded the last podcast, but we're going to skip over all that and we're just going to jump right into the data. Let's start with the spot market for truck freight. No doubt fueled in part at least by pent-up demand from the holidays, load volume in the truckstop.com system jumped nearly 52% week over week to set a record during the week ended January 8th, 2021, which is week one of the year. Load postings exceeded 2020's week 39 record by nearly 3%. All segments saw higher volume, but flatbed's gain was especially strong, as we'll talk about in a moment. The rise in truck postings slightly outpaced the increase in loads, so the ratio of loads to trucks in the system retreated slightly from the prior week's record. And spot rates fell sharply, as we'll also talk about in a few minutes. After capacity declines through most of December, truck postings jumped nearly 55% week over week, slightly exceeding the gain in volume. The result was a slight easing in the market demand index, which is the ratio of loads to trucks in the truckstop.com system, from the record level at the end of 2020. The MDI during the first week of the year is the second highest on record, and in fact, the past 3 weeks have seen the three highest market demand index readings ever. Dry van load volume rose nearly 39% week over week for the third highest weekly total ever. The dry van record was set in the week of week 48 of last year, surpassing the record that had been set 9 weeks earlier. Dry van truck posting surged nearly 50%, so the dry van MDI retreated from the record set during the last week of 2020. However, as with total MDI, the three highest dry van MDIs ever recorded were in the past 3 weeks. Refrigerated loads increased nearly 9% to the highest level since the week before Thanksgiving. Truck postings were up more than 25%, however, so the refrigerated MDI fell from the record set the previous week. However, the refrigerated MDI was still the second highest on record. And flatbed loads jumped nearly 86% week over week to the strongest level since June of 2018. Truck postings were up sharply, 70%, but they did not match the surge in volume, and the result was the fourth straight weekly record for the flatbed market demand index. Now, despite strong load volume increases, rates fell sharply. The broker-posted rate per mile, excluding fuel surcharges, fell nearly 18 cents from a level that was the second highest on record. Refrigerated rates fell more than 22 cents, but that was after they had risen nearly 58 cents, in the 2 weeks prior. Dry van rates fell nearly 20 cents from a record high the prior week, and flatbed rates fell more than 6 cents, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it is the largest decline in a week since April. Okay, let's talk about petroleum and fuel. The price of West Texas Intermediate crude has finally climbed back above $50 a barrel. On January 8th, it closed at $52.24, which is the highest closing price since February 21st of last year. Now, that date, February 21st, is, in my opinion, significant because it would be the final business day in what I would call the pre-pandemic U.S. economy. If you'll recall, on February 24th was when we saw the U.S. stock markets fall sharply on worries that the pandemic, and that actually wasn't even officially a name that was used by the World Health Organization at the time, was spreading beyond China. While it would take two more weeks beyond that for President Trump to declare a national emergency, that week saw significant changes in how consumers, investors, and others behaved. Okay, enough of the history lesson. As crude prices have risen, so have diesel prices. Nationwide, diesel prices were up for the 10th straight week during the week ended January 11th. The average price was up 3 cents to $2.67. And over the past 10 weeks, diesel prices are up just under 30 cents a gallon, or about 13%. Okay, let's wrap up the weekly data with a quick look at a couple of other items. First, unemployment. We're not going to spend as much time as we usually do on this because most of the rest of the podcast will be about the jobs report, so that's enough of the labor market for one week. The situation with unemployment benefits continues to improve slowly. Initial claims for benefits were basically unchanged in the latest week at 787,000, seasonally adjusted, but continued claims were down in both regular state programs and the two federally funded programs. State continued claims totaled 5.1 million, and federal continued claims totaled 12.9 million. As we mentioned last week, federal benefits, including an additional $300 a week, are now flowing to unemployed people who do not or no longer qualify for state benefits. And one final weekly metric. Mortgage rates started 2021 by falling to just another all-time low. Freddie Mac reported that the rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage fell to 2.65%. Okay, we really have only a couple of topics to discuss in monthly indicators. Let's get to the simpler one and get that one out of the way. The Institute for Supply Management's ISM Manufacturing Index jumped more than 3 points to 60.7, and that's the strongest reading since August of 2018. A reminder, if you don't remember from past episodes, a reading above 50 is an expansion, a reading below 50 is a contraction. Components of the ISM index linked to freight transportation were especially strong. Production was 64.8 and new orders was 67.9, and both of those represented increases over the November figures. As we discussed last week, orders for durable manufactured goods also are recovering steadily. Next week, we'll discuss the aspect of the industrial sector that has been lagging the most, and that's output. We'll talk about the Federal Reserve's indexes on industrial production and manufacturing, which are released at the end of this week. And now we'll move to the main topic of this week's podcast, which is the labor market. It's a more complicated story than it might seem. The headline news is that the U.S. economy in December shed 140,000 payroll jobs, seasonally adjusted for the first month-over-month drop since April. Now, that certainly is not good news, but it is not necessarily as bad as it sounds, and that's because the job losses were squarely concentrated in one major sector of the economy, the group of services that we call leisure and hospitality, restaurants, bars, movie theaters, sporting events, so on, and hotels. That sector lost just under 500,000 jobs, 498,000 jobs seasonally adjusted. And that's undoubtedly a consequence, at least primarily, of the surging coronavirus or COVID-19 pandemic. Excluding leisure and hospitality, the economy actually added 358,000 jobs, roughly in line with the gain of 336,000 jobs in November, following an upward revision from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, even 358,000 new jobs wouldn't be all that great since we're still down just under 10 million payroll jobs from February. But the detailed data indicates that what is really hurting is the services businesses that have suffered over the past 10 months due to the pandemic. Most other major sectors of the economy were higher month over month, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But first, we should recognize that owing to the combination of a decline in December and an upward revision in November, many of the key metrics are basically where they were a month ago in the BLS preliminary report that came out in early December for November. Payroll employment is still about 9.8 million jobs below February. The unemployment rate remained 6.7%. And the labor participation rate in December was unchanged at 61.5%, which is still down 1.8 points from February. So that's nearly 2% of the entire U.S. population age 16 or older, unless they're in prison, that have left the job market or still out of the job market since February. Now, aside from leisure and hospitality, most sectors of the economy saw job growth. The only other major sector besides that one to lose a significant number of jobs were actually two of them. One was government, which was down by 45,000, and the other was education and health services, down 31,000. This sounds a lot like what we saw in March and April, where the biggest hits were in education and health, and of course in restaurants, bars, and other leisure-related activities. So while the pandemic slammed employment at restaurants, bars, hotels, and so on, unlike what we saw in April, it did not hurt brick-and-mortar retailers. General merchandise stores added 58,700 jobs, or 1.8%, and even the troubled department store segment, which is part of that total of general merchandise, lost only 2,000 jobs. Construction and manufacturing, which are obviously some of the drivers of freight transportation, saw job gains in December. Total construction employment is down 3% since February, but residential construction jobs are up 0.8%. Manufacturing employment is still down 4.2%. But then so is every major of the sector. In fact, the best performer of all the major sectors is financial activities, and even that is down 1.2% in payroll employment. The worst, not surprisingly, is leisure and hospitality, which is down 23.2%. So let's move on and talk about aspects of the economy that are more directly related to our interests. As was the case in November, jobs related to goods transportation saw solid gains, aside from rail, which was unchanged. For hire, trucking added 7,300 jobs seasonally adjusted. However, that's the smallest gain since September. Also, the industry's current counter-seasonal strength actually inflates the unadjusted figure, which was actually down by 2,500 jobs. It's just that in December, it's usually down by more. Trucking employment is still 43,000 jobs, or 2.8%, below February, seasonally adjusted. Couriers and messengers, which we would call parcel and local delivery, added 37,400 payroll jobs, seasonally adjusted, Since February, payroll employment is up by 221,800 jobs, or 26.2%. That growth that is seen by couriers and messengers is by far the strongest in the economy in terms of percentage gains relative to February. The next closest industry has seen growth of just over 10%. Meanwhile, warehousing and storage added 8,200 jobs in December. Since February, that sector's employment is up 87,700 jobs, or 7.3%. Warehousing and storage's job growth is the economy's fifth strongest in percentage terms since February. And to see how other industries fared in December versus November and February, see the presentation accompanying this podcast, which, as I pointed out earlier, you can download at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. So that's it for this week's podcast. Let's recap. Spot volume set a new record in the first week of the year. Diesel and crude prices kept rising. New unemployment claims were basically unchanged. Continued claims fell in both state and federal programs. Mortgage rates started 2021 at an all-time low. The ISM Manufacturing Index rose in December. The U.S. lost 140,000 jobs, but the vast majority of those were in leisure segments. The unemployment rate was unchanged at 6.7%. The labor participation rate was unchanged at 61.5%. And trucking and parcel and local delivery posted strong job growth. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 94 for the week of January 11th, 2021. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.